lesson. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 94, stanzas 1 through 4. And thy mercy and thy truth, O Lord, transcend the lofty sky, and thy judgments are a mighty deep, and as the mountains high. 1 through 4 of Psalter 94.
Thank you. wish to read out of God's holy and precious word out of the book of Psalms, thereof Psalms 36, but before that, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Psalm 36. To the chief musician, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord. The transgression of the wicked saith within my heart that there is no fear of God before his eyes. For he flattereth himself in his own eyes until his iniquity be found to be hateful. The words of his mouth are iniquity and deceit. He hath left off to be wise and to do good. He deviseth mischief upon his bed. He setteth himself in a way that is not good. He abhorreth not evil. Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds. Thy righteousness is like the great mountains. Thy judgments are a great deep. O Lord, thou preservest man and beast. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. For with thee is the fountain of life. In thy light shall we see light. O continue thy loving kindness unto them that know thee, and thy righteousness to the upright in heart. Let not the foot of pride come against me, and let not the hand of the wicked remove me. There are the workers of iniquity fallen. They are cast down, and shall not be able to rise. Thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty God, we have heard in these moments out of thy own word. It is out of thy own mouth, spoken through thy own servant so long ago, that thy righteousness is as the great mountains, as the mighty mountains. They are immovable, they are vast, they are broad, they are high. It cannot be surmounted. But Lord, thou knowest all that it appears to be upon this world. For thy servant did say that it happeneth unto the righteous as it happeneth unto the wicked. Then he could not understand, and it seemed as if thy righteousness that had disappeared, until he went into the house of God where he saw their end. Oh, give us a little impression of the greatness of thee, of thy steadfastness. All things are under thy hand. All things are in thy control. All things are in thy power. Not one step could Satan go against thy servant Job without thy permission. All had to be asked of thee, and thou didst allow him a little ways. And thou dost give that prince of darkness in our days yet a little chain, a little rope, a little looseness, So that he goes about this world to attempt to destroy thy church. As we can read, will happen more and more in the latter days. So that the world will send gifts unto one another. When it will seem as if all things that will go in the direction of the dissolution of thy kingdom, when thy servants are destroyed, but it will all turn to the profit of thy church and for the glory of thee. Oh, that we may be given faith to believe it. That we might see something of the greatness of thy power, and that thy long-suffering that is so very great over us and over our children, but it will not last forever. For that time is coming when thy judgments as a great deep will be experienced here in this world. So that thy truth will be known by each and every one here below, then we shall believe because our eyes shall see it. And when thou wilt come upon the clouds to judge the quick and the dead, then they shall call to those mountains, fall on us, and to the hills, cover us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth upon the throne. O Lord, thou whose eyes are as a flame of fire, and thou whose mouth, whose word is as a two-edged sword, that thou wouldst remember us in the days in which we still live, and that thy word may be sharp in the heart of the king's enemies, and that the people may fall under thee, that they could fall unto thee, toward thee. O Lord, draw our hearts that we might run after thee. Grant us life in our poor souls, the resurrection from our spiritual death, that we might live and that we might come to know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. And that he may be made precious unto each and every one of us, and that we may see and feel the great impossibility of ever returning unto our Creator and our Maker, of ever fulfilling thy law, of ever receiving anything that is good from thee, except through him in whom that thou art so well pleased. O Lord, wilt thou grant us new life from the dead, to young and old together, and that thy word may be used also in this day, what we have heard and seen and hope to bring and hear in this afternoon hour. Lord, that thou mayest use it for the quickening of the dead, for the instruction also of thy Zion, where that they art, for as the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so is the Lord round about them that fear him. Oh, that they might feel something then of thee being near and round about them to protect from all the wiles of the devil, who does seek to destroy thy people and to make them to despair of grace. But, O, thou art able to open their eyes for the first and by renewal, and to reveal unto them thyself. O, show thyself. When thou dost stand behind our wall a little through the lattice, that thou wouldst come as the roe leaping upon the mountains and skipping upon the hills, to make thy sad and dejected people to rejoice when they might see thee once again. Oh, that thou may speak, Lord, unto those who desire to hear thy voice, for it is sweet. that thou mayest give the pouring out of the love of thee in the hearts of young and old. Look upon the children, the youth. They, each one of them, do receive instruction from parents, from teachers, from elders. And thou knowest also what they receive from this world. Thou knowest what they see in this world, what they hear in this world. Thou knowest what lives within their heart that is inclined to everything that is sinful. And then as parents, we cannot convert our children. But Lord, that thou may remember them, that thou wouldest arise in the days in which we live and give a revival in the midst of thy church. That those also that have become old and gray-headed under the preaching, under the reading of thy holy word, who perhaps become more and more discouraged because the time flies away and there are those among them who do desire, Lord, thou knowest where that they are, that they also and may be converted unto thee, that thou may look upon them, and that thou may hear their cries from heaven, their dwelling place, thy dwelling place. And wilt thou care for all that mourn in these days? Thou knowest the place of each one. Give mourning, and not only for the consequences, but also for sin itself. That the cause may be lamented, and that thee, who art our Maker and our Creator, who art our Judge, and may be known and experienced as such, but also as our Mediator, as our Deliverer, as the Savior of our souls. Remember all that bring thy word over the length and breadth of this whole world. He that has been here in this morning and laboring in the midst of the congregations here lately, and may return in the day of tomorrow, wilt thou give traveling mercies and bless all that he has done. And those that labor in this area, in this country, and those that also labor on the mission fields, increase their number also when we hope to meet soon as a curatorium. O Lord, we ask of thee wisdom from above, and that thou mayest give an increase in the number of thy truly sent servants, if it may please thee, and that thou may give help unto the instructors and the students in our theological school, and give what is necessary also for the exams that are approaching. Wilt thou look upon all those that are afflicted in the mind or in the body in this world, also widows, widowers, orphans, handicapped ones, those that have addictions, those and that have lost the use of their minds, and all those that care for them, all those that have become old and their bodies do break down, as we have heard, as we may read in thy holy word. And then the truth is experienced of thy word, that death is the consequence of our sin. But wilt thou give it also to be experienced, that thou hast sent thy dearly and begotten Son into this world to seek and to save that which is lost. Help thou us in this hour. Wilt thou be on our right and on our left hand in both speaking and in listening? Strengthen us for the labor of our hands, and wilt thou bless thy own word undeservedly. For Jesus' sake, amen. Let us now sing from Psalter 239, stanzas 1 and 2. Zion, on the holy hills. God, thy Maker, loves thee well. All thy courts his presence fills. He delights in thee to dwell. 1 and 2 of Psalter 239. Beloved congregation, we are privileged to live We are privileged to live in a time of great prosperity, so that each of us may live with great comfort in this world, and that we may have many of the possessions, the valuables that are highly esteemed by men in this world. But of what value is our life? The devil himself has said, skin for skin, all that a man hath, he will give for his life. Would you not do that, young people? You have a nice truck, maybe. But if you had to die, you would say, I will give it away. All that a man hath, a beautiful home, farm, business, everything. The devil knew it. The devil knows it. That our life is our most prized possession. It is a gift. It is from the Lord. In the days of Solomon, a dog was despised. Yet Solomon wrote that a living dog is better than a dead lion. And why? He said that the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything. That is true in a natural way, isn't it? It is true also, however, in a spiritual way. And this we wish to consider with you for a moment in this afternoon out of the words of our text from Psalm 36, the first part of the ninth verse. Psalm 36, verse 9, the first part. For with thee is the fountain of life. So far the words of our text. The fountain of life. First, the source of life. Second, the abundance of life. And third, the continuance of life. The fountain of life, and this life is the source. This fountain is the source, it is the abundance, and it is the continuance of life. What does the living church complain of more than deadness? Say, that is a mystery. Right, children? Say, the church, the living church, God's people, they are the ones that are alive, that is right. And they are the ones that are often complaining. And that they feel so much of death. David says, my soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. Thus he desired that the Lord would quicken his soul. He desired that life may be revived. What did he experience? He could not quicken himself. He experienced that he was helpless. Or if he could have, then he would have given that life unto himself. Then he would have revived that life that the Lord had given to him. But he could not. What did he experience? He experienced that he himself was not the source, that he himself was not the origin of life. Then he experienced that all of that life that came from another place, and he himself, when that life was not given unto him from that place, that he himself was so helpless to give it unto himself. By nature, we do not experience such a helplessness. Satan is a liar. Is he not children? He lied to Eve, didn't he? And that has brought a great misery into this world. Do we hate the lie? Because Satan is the father, we read, of lies. And Satan is confusing death, interchanging death and life. By nature, we do not know what spiritual life is. We actually think we are alive. What kind of life do we have? We have a natural life. And we feel alive. And we have all of the life that we desire. We do not look for, we do not seek for any other life than we have. We are actually satisfied with all the life that is natural. What is that proof of? It is proof of our death. The dead know not anything, but you say we know better. We know better because we are brought up different and we hear about life. We hear about another life and hopefully there is at least a desire that we may receive something of the blessings that God's children may receive. Do we desire these? Maybe you do sometimes, young people. You say, I wish I also could receive those blessings. Maybe you say sometimes to yourself, I think perhaps also I may be a recipient of that life because I have also these desires for the blessings of God's children. But be careful, because desire for the blessings, that is not in itself anything that is uncommon among men. It is not uncommon among the dead, even after the fall. No, that is something that belongs to mankind in general. It belongs to the visible church in general when we are brought up under the truth of God. Temporary faith. That is that seed that did fall into those stony places. That is that seed that had no root. That is the seed that came up quickly. That is the seed that also perished. It perished under the heat of persecution, under the heat of the sun, of trial, of affliction. Temporary faith does not discern. It does not discern between natural life and spiritual life. Do you know what it also does not do? It does not heed the warnings. The warnings that are given out of the Word of God. The warnings that are given in the preaching. When you may read the old writers and our forefathers, then temporary faith does not heed, does not want to listen to those warnings that are coming unto it. Oh, that desire to receive those blessings that is coming for them in the foreground in our will when we have but that temporary faith is deceitful. The heart, the Word of God says, is deceitful above all things. And we are ready even to deceive our own heart. Do you believe that? Satan is deceitful. And our heart that goes out after him. Oh, that temporary faith, it is averse. We read the Lord Jesus says it is averse to digging. It is averse to trying to find a good foundation. It is averse to waiting. It is averse to labor. It is averse to seeking to have oil in my vessel. It is looking for speed and not the truth. It mistakes natural life and the desires of natural life and the emotions of natural life. It is mistaking them for spiritual life. It believes it is alive. It does not know what life is, for it is dead. For with thee is the fountain of life. That fountain is, in the first place, we say, a source. It is the place where life comes from. It is the origin of life. Thus, before that water is going down into the rivers and into the streams, it has to come from somewhere. It must come from a fountain. The Lord Jesus said to the Jews, "You will not come unto me that ye might have life." And why not? Because they did not need him for life. They had enough of their own life. They did not see, they did not believe that Christ himself was the source of life. They found life in their own hands. They found life in everything that they did. They found life in their religion, in their feelings, that feels in the common grace of God, that he may uphold this whole world, then the Lord gives that man may help his fellow in the gutter. May you ever do that? Blessed is he that helpeth the poor, the Bible says. And when we may help those poor, and when we may do good deeds in this world, then we feel something. That is a good feeling, isn't it? And that is a good thing. Where does that come from? That comes from God. In his calm and grace that he still gives it unto men, that in all the evil and the sin that is in this world, all the misery, that there still is the ability of man to exist in this world while the Lord is gathering his own people, while the Lord is bringing in his own church, but now that temporary faith that is looking at all these human feelings, these human emotions, that is attributing something unto itself which it does not have, or that natural man, he will not concede. He will not concede to his state of death. Now, what we have in us, the Pelagian, that is denying the fall, the Arminian, in a practical way, doing the same. He denies the depth of the fall, that we are haters of God. We are haters of his Son. And we are haters of grace. We are actually haters of life. Will you try to convince such a man? You cannot convince him. Why can you not convince him? Can you raise the dead? Can you raise the dead? It is just as easy to raise the dead, the natural dead, as it is to raise the spiritually dead. Whose work is that? That is not our work. Oh, we have means. We must use those means also for one another. But it is not our work to raise the dead. And yet we read in the Word of God that the Lord set Ezekiel, his servant, he set him down in the midst of a valley that was full of dry bones. Dry bones. Dead. And then he said to his servant, can those bones live? What would you say, children? A valley full of dry, dead bones. Can they live? Oh, Lord, he says, thou knowest. The Lord said, prophesy unto those bones. Speak unto those bones. They are dead. And he spoke to them. He prophesied to them. He preached to them. He said that those bones must live. And they live. That is to us, congregation, either an insult or it is an encouragement. An insult or an encouragement. Why? The Pharisees were insulted. The Lord Jesus said to them, you are of your father, the devil. That is not so nice to hear. Are we then insulted? What did the Lord do? He placed them on the outside. Did the Lord ever place you on the outside? Did the Lord ever say to you, you are dead? You are just a dry bone? That there is no life in you? No spiritual life in you whatsoever? Did the Lord ever show to you the depth of your fall? Did the Lord ever bring you back unto paradise? Oh, temporary faith does not want to hear that it is a dry bone. Congregation, if we may hear it, and if we may have a fist in our heart against the Lord, then know that that is not the life of God in you. The Lord needs to place us on the outside. And when the Lord places us on the outside as that Canaanitish woman who was just a heathen, who did not belong unto the true people of the Lord, oh, when the Lord places us on the outside, the way it is in truth and indeed by nature, then there is hope. Because that is a woman that the Lord brought on the inside. Oh, temporary faith does not want to hear that it is a dead bone, that it is a dry bone. How is that now with another people? There is another people that are encouraged. And when they may hear about those dry bones, they are so encouraged when they may hear that a dry bone, a dead bone can live. Was that ever to the encouragement of your soul? That you said that bone can live, that death can live, flesh can come over those bones. That is a people who have been taught their death state. That is a people that do mourn their death state. That is a people who desire not just the blessings, but that desire life itself. They desire the kernel, they desire the truth. Then they feel, they experience that death. They sorrow over that death. Oh, that parable, that prodigal, he went out into that field, we read, and there he fed those swine. And there, when he was feeding those swine, what was he trying to do? He was trying to uphold his own life. Do you try to uphold your own life? It was there in that swine pit that that man learned that he could not uphold his life. What does he say? He says, I perish. I perish with hunger. And when he did there perish with hunger, then his thoughts, they went back. They went back unto life. Unto true life, and where that true life was to be found. They went back unto his father. And there he may learn that his father, he was the source, he was the fountain of life. For with thee is the fountain of life. What does the Lord Jesus say? He says, I lay down my life that I might take it again. What an amazing power. That is not a power we have. Can we lay down our life? Can we take our life again? Or what is death to us? Death is to us the king of terrors. There is no discharge in that war. Skin for skin, everything that he has, he will give for that life. But he can do nothing to preserve that life. And now what does Christ say? I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. Is that not a wonderful power? Is that not a great power? How do we know that is true? Oh, he has proved it, hasn't he? We read that he rose from the dead. In whose power? That was in the first place the power of his Father. We read that God the Father raised him from the dead, but it was also in his own power. We read that Christ rose from the dead. Thus, proof that his word was true, that it was not just something that he said with his lips, but something that he truly possessed. Oh, there it was proved that death had been put away. That he put away that death by the sacrifice of himself. There the Father's power was exerted that he might live. There he may prove that the Father himself did give him life. There the Father did show that all which was the cause of death in his people, that cause was now put away, and that he was himself the fountain of life. Thus we have life. Life restored by Christ. And how did Christ restore that life? He restored that life through death. What does Paul say? He says, through death, he destroyed him who had the power of death, that is the devil. Thus, through death, Christ says, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Thus life that was restored unto the church of God through death. But it is no different in the experience also of that church. Why is that? Because the Lord is restoring the life of that people through the experience of their death. Oh, when we do not experience that deadness, when we do not mourn that deadness, when we do not feel that deadness, why would we seek after another life? Then there is no drawing unto another life. But if we may now feel it, if we may now grieve over that death, then that life can be restored unto us. The Lord says, whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it. And he whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall preserve it. And blessed is that people. Why? Because when they find that life, then they find that life in a great, great abundance. That is our second thought. For with thee is the fountain of life. Thus, with him is first the source of life, but with him is, in the second place, also an abundance of life. Because, boys and girls, a fountain, that is the source of the water. But when we come to a fountain, then we also find there is a great abundance of water. And that especially in a land like we are speaking of, where no rain is falling for half a year. And many of the villages, they were dependent upon reservoirs and cisterns of rainwater. And others, they were situated beside a stream that was always flowing. But when there was now a fountain, a spring, well, then that fountain or spring was likely to be the very center of that village. And that everyone was gathered round about that fountain, because here was now the source of their life, a source of abundant water for that parched ground, for that thirsty people. And David speaks about it here. He says, for with thee is the fountain of life. There is sufficient life in Christ to raise the whole world from the dead. Do you believe that? To raise the whole world from the dead. Sufficient life in Christ. That is the experience of the church. When the Lord may reveal something of this fountain of life, when the Lord may show them something of this fountain, and when they may see it with the eye of faith, when they may see it with the spiritual eye, and when the Lord reveals himself unto them, then they experience an abundance. They experience an abundance which they have never known in this whole world. And that actually does not exist in this whole world. That has to do with the infinitude of his being. That he is not a finite being, but that he is an infinite being. And when a man sees something of that grace of God, then he may say the whole world can be converted. You can ask God's children, if they have seen something of the fountain, of the abundance that is living in that fountain. Very often we sing, the Lord is just, his grace wide as, what children? The ocean. Wide as the ocean. Did the Lord ever show it unto our poor soul? And when our soul was condemned by the justice of God, the Lord is just. This comes first in the life of a person. And does a man find life there? Does he find life in that justice of God? When the Lord will bring us before his throne, and when the Lord will say we must answer all of his questions, will you find life then for your soul? No. No, the Bible says that we will not be able to answer one question of 1,000. No, there is nothing there for us but death. And then that surety appears for his people. And when that surety appears, oh, that is when that people may begin to see, and when they may begin to sing, that his grace that is as wide as the ocean, oh, then they see that that payment is full, that there is nothing missing, that there is not a single iota of debt that Christ is leaving behind for his own people. Isaiah says, thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. When they are behind his back, oh, when they may see it, then they see that the Lord, he sees nothing of those sins anymore. Oh, then that righteousness of God that is as the great mountains, and that is all standing before that people, then they may be included in that righteousness. Then there is no end to the immensity of those mountains. Then it is infinite in height and length and breadth and in depth. Oh, then his judgments are a great, great deep. Then they cannot see into the bottom of the dealings of the Lord and what he has done from that great eternity for the sake of his own church. It is a reconciliation that is so complete for that people. All things are yours, the apostle says, and ye are Christ, and Christ is God's. With thee is the fountain of life. David says here, they shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt drink of the river, and thou shalt make them drink of the rivers of thy pleasures. Oh, you say the Canaanitish woman, she just asked for a crumb. Just a crumb. What do God's children ask for? They ask for a crumb too. They say, that would be so great if I got a crumb. And did she get just a crumb? Oh, she got an abundance. She got everything she asked for. Oh, that people, they get more than their heart could wish. David, he says, my cup runneth over. Oh, was Boaz stingy? And when he commanded handfuls to be left behind for Ruth, oh, then he desired that she may eat, and that she may drink, and that she may be satisfied. And then he is providing everything, a great fullness for her, for his people. Oh, Christ is perceived by that church, by the revelations of that mediator, to be so full, to be so abundant, a fountain of grace, a fountain of loving kindness, a fountain is open for the house of David and the city of Jerusalem for sin, for uncleanness, an open fountain. Oh, then the souls, the needy souls of publicans, they are coming there unto that fountain. And then they are washing there. Then they are going down to their house justified from all things, from which they could not be justified from that law of Moses. Let us sing Psalter 426, 2, 3, and 4. The cords of death held me in deep despair. The pangs of hell, like waves by tempest driven, rolled o'er my soul. By grief and sorrow riven, I turned in my distress to God in prayer. 2, 3, and 4 of 426.
Thank you.
is the fountain of life. First, the source. Second, the abundance. Last, the continuance of life. That is the third characteristic of a fountain, that it keeps going, that it does not stop. That is a wonder in the first place, children. If you may see that fountain in the center of that village, then you will see at one time this person goes. They are thirsty. They have no water anymore. They need that perhaps for washing. Then it is another person, not at the same time. Everyone may come to that fountain just at the time that it is needed for themselves. Is that not a wonder? Because God's church, they are not all mourning and they are not all singing at the same time. They are not all thirsty at the same time. They do not all drink at the same time. But that fountain that is continuing at all times to flow, that living mediator, being alive and awake also every moment of the night. When in the night they are meditating upon their beds, oh, then that fountain that is open for that people, or it is sometimes in the daytime, and then that fountain is still open for this people in this world. Those fountains do sometimes stop. And if a fountain stops, then we say, well, it is no fountain anymore. Because if it is not spewing out water, then we say it has lost the character of a fountain. Then it ceases to be a fountain. Can that ever happen, children, with the Lord? It cannot be. Why not? Because your mother teaches you, your father, that the Lord is what? Unchangeable. I am the Lord, he says. I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Every moment, he cannot cease to be who he is. For he is God. That means he remains a fountain always. Why is that so important for the church of God? Because their life is dependent upon that fountain. If that fountain does not continue, then their life cannot continue. That life of grace cannot uphold itself. That is the very nature of grace. Grace receives. Grace is dependent always upon that mediator. Thus, when faith loses sight of him, it loses sight of their life. Then it thinks, I have to die. Then it loses everything. As long as sin continues, then also that fountain needs to continue for the people. For with thee is the fountain of life. Oh, how close that those poor sinners need to live by that fountain, that that life may be sustained. That that hope may be sustained, that the rest and that the peace may be sustained. But David said, thy servant, like a wandering sheep, has lost the path and gone astray. Restore my soul and lead me home. For thy commands I would obey. Oh, the church, time and again, like a wandering sheep, is doing what? It is wandering away From where? From that fountain. It loses the path, and it is not able to find the way, David says. I am not able to find a way back again unto that fountain. What do they depend on? Him again. Him again. That he will lead them, not for the first time only. You think you have it, young people. That is the way they speak today. Now we have it. Now we have Christ. And now we need to begin mission work. Because for us it is finished. And now it has to be for everyone else. Mission work is a good thing, of course. But if you think that that is the life of the true church, you are greatly mistaken. Do not allow yourself to be deceived. Because the Lord in his word shows through the lives of his own people, that David could not bring himself back again unto that fountain. Do you know what the Lord says? He says, my people, and they have committed two evils. They have left me, the fountain of living waters, and they have hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. A broken cistern, a broken covenant, a communion with death. And what do they do then? Oh, they are looking back like that prodigal. They are looking back upon a former life where they may drink something from that fountain. When they went up with the multitude, with the voice of joy and praise unto the house of God. And when they may be satisfied with the abundance of that house of God. Oh, then they are looking back after tasting that fatness. And their souls are longing again. They are longing again for a drink from that fountain. Because the power has gone out of it. You cannot do, children, with a drink from yesterday, from last week, from last year. No, you say, in order to stay alive, then you need to drink also today. How can God's children live off of that which has taken place so long ago? Asaph says, when faith sank low, I hardly knew that thou wast Israel's keeper true. But David says, with thee is the fountain of life. Then already long ago, he was directing that people unto that living mediator who was dead. But behold, he is alive forevermore. And that fountain that is remaining forever for that thirsty, for that filthy people. And then they need to be taught the necessity of that fountain more and more. The preciousness of that fountain that has to become greater and greater in the life of that people. It is going to be all to his glory. You say, how will the Lord do that? Oh, that Spirit of the Lord, he knows how to do that. That is not easy for their flesh. But sin increases in the life of that people. Not the commission of sin, but the grieving for sin, the existence of sin. Or is it not so in your life? Then you do not know the life of God's true church. Because the life of sanctification is a life where more and more a man is becoming a sinner before God, that the Lord may make more and more That fountain, precious and necessary. Oh, how necessary was the resurrection of Christ from the dead, in order that that fountain of life may continue. And how necessary for that people that they may be led time and again unto that fountain, that they may experience there that where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Congregation, if the Lord was not the Alpha and the Omega, if the Lord was not the beginning and the end, it would be impossible for God's true church to be saved. That is their only hope. That is their only comfort. Life is depending upon that living Christ as that fountain of living waters, as the source of life, for the abundance of life, for the continuation of life. It is such an easy life when God's children may live close to that fountain. Oh, then they may drink. Then they may drink of that fountain every day, we would say. Then they may drink of the abundance of those waters. The Lord Jesus said to that Samaritan woman, "Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever shall drink of the water I shall give him shall never thirst. But it shall be in him a well of water that is springing up into everlasting life." And so it is in the life of that people. Every person who in his thirst may take a sip, a little sip of this water, may experience a little bit of this, that they are not strangers of the abundance of that life-giving grace that is proceeding from him alone, and therefore he is inviting them over and over again to that continually flowing fountain. If any man thirst, he says, "Let him come unto me and drink." Oh, with thee is the fountain of life, God. God is the source of life. Do you believe that? Do you believe that, young people? Much comes against it today, doesn't it? We may have friends getting married, and Satan, he would like to destroy it. That is life God has given as a family, and then he is giving life for the procreation of this world in order that his people may be born. Will you get in the way of that, young people? Will you get in the way of that? When the Lord says, "I will have my children to be born among that visible church," will we stand in the Lord's way? Will we say, "I do not want to have children"? Or, "So many children is enough children"? Because children are a burden, because children are costly, and so many other selfish motives that persons have that they may enjoy more of the materialistic prosperity of this world. Oh, then we temper with this fountain, the fountain of life, and we can be sure that we will receive the judgments of the Lord. Are you barren? The Lord is the fountain. Oh, do go, not to all the ingenuity of man, but do go unto that fountain and ask, "Lord, may it please thee. And if not, thy will be done." Do you have a barren soul? Is your soul dead? Do you desire that you may have life in your soul? There is the fountain. With thee is the fountain of life. Let everyone who mourns his barrenness seek life from this fountain. You know what the Lord Jesus said when he was here below? Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. The hour is coming, and now is. What hour was that? That was the hour of the New Testament church. The greatest part of that 144,000 of that church of God will be delivered from that spiritual death in the New Testament time. That is, congregation, the time that you and I live in. You understand that, young people? You are sometimes maybe discouraged. It is dark. It is true. Very, very dark. But we still live in that time. A time the Lord Jesus says that the dead are going to hear the voice of the Son of God. Where does that Son of God speak? In his word. Do you desire to hear his voice? Oh, be much in the Word. Be much searching in the Word. And be much on your knees with that Word. Oh, Lord, that I may not only read it, but that I might hear. Then I need life. I need life from the dead. And with Thee, oh, Lord, is that fountain of life. Oh, will we seek all the deadness of sin in this world, from the idols of this world. They have eyes they see not. They have ears they hear not. They cannot speak through their throat. They cannot give you anything. What does the Lord say? They that make them are like unto them, dead. And so is everyone that trusteth in them, dead. Oh, will you not in this short life, will you not throughout all your life, however long that the Lord gives you here below, might not be long, children. 10 months is not a long time, is it? The Lord has given you more time already, hasn't He? We do not know how long that our life is going to be. This is not just for adults, no. This is also for children. Oh, will you then seek all that is dead? All that cannot give you life? And will you never ask after this fountain? If that is the way we live, will the Lord not be just? One day not to give us one drop of water to cool our tongue? Or do we not believe the word of God? Oh, the Lord, give us to acknowledge our death. And the Lord, give us to seek for that life that is yet to be had with an open fountain. He says, I will pour water on him that is thirsty and floods upon the dry ground. May that be the experience of our hearts. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, Oh, teach us, for it all must come from Thee. Oh, grant us that life from the dead in our souls. May it be a cry that goes forth from each and every heart, fathers and mothers, sons and daughters, each and every one of us upon this life's journey, that we could not miss that life, that we may be jealous of that life, that we may seek Thee, who is the fountain of life, O Lord, and that is so abundant. Give it to be experienced more in the life of Thy own children. For one little sight of Thee, even through the lattice, and then they may see and feel and experience as something of that great and blessed abundance. And then they are looking at an ocean of grace, which is so far above all their iniquity and all their sin. And then they may be given to hope and expect that that will continue even to that last hour. When they have to pass out of this world, and when that last enemy shall approach, and then that fountain shall yet be open for that people. Oh, that Thou may give in the life of each and every one of us a desire that we also may receive this truth and this blessing. Forgive and take away all of our many sins, and dismiss us now with Thy blessing. Keep us from sin and evil, all danger and harm, a sudden and an unprepared death. Remember those parents and loved ones, and that must stand at an open grave. Remember them and supply for them in Thy mercy, and all those that do mourn. And wilt Thou keep us from sinning against Thee, for Jesus' sake. Amen. 421, stanzas 4 and 5. From strength to strength, Thy children dear, go on, go forward till they all appear in Zion's courts, God's holy mountain. 4 and 5 of Psalter 421. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessings.